Somebody said if it's not to speak, they'll come. Welcome.
And they said.
Please, you are going to see where I'm going with them because they're in. And they be doing the very. The word you find in John chapter 1. And I want to read from verses 40 and 41. I think we perhaps better go back just a few verses. 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples couldn't speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Among the two which heard John speak and followed him, it was Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel, please. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. He saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here, which are 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." And finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 12. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "We would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. You got the link, didn't you? Andrew, let's pray. Father, we just pray that you might use these few verses and the thoughts that come to us as we look at the lesson of this disciple named Andrew. We might be challenged in our own walk with the Lord Jesus. We might truly follow him and become like Andrew, people who want to bring people to Jesus. We ask this giving thanks in his name. I often talk of the ministry, concentric circles, simple. Circles that have the same center. You walk into a pond, and what do you see? Those ripples. What? Concentric circles. So here are 3 concentric circles. Here's the widest one, and we call it evangelism. That's the process of bringing people to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been the subject of evangelism in past days. Some of us look back many, many years to the day that we first heard the good news and the Lord Jesus. But we don't leave it there. It's the drop. And you know, it's like the sun going out to sow the seed. You know, you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know who it's going to affect. You don't know who is going to respond to that. You throw it out as widely and as prayerfully and as consistently as you possibly. Evangelism, the next line is discipleship. That's more confined. It doesn't apply to everybody. It doesn't apply to those who never come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It is the process whereby we encourage spiritual growth in those who have come to faith and trust in Christ. I kind of like the idea of the landscaper, and he's going to plant some trees. So he goes to the nursery and he finds a nice tree, and he digs a hole, and he puts the tree into the hole and bags the dirt around it. But what happens if a wind comes, a strong gale comes? What he often does is he ties some guy lines to that tree to hold it long enough for the roots to be established, for the roots to go down. And the process of discipleship is to encourage new Christians to grow deeper and deeper in their faith. That's the second, evangelism, discipleship, and the narrowest one is where we can become very specific, that mentoring. That's encouraging individuals to have gifts, and all Christians have some gifts or blending of gifts, and we encourage these individuals to utilize that gift, to develop that gift, to help them to develop the God-given ability for ministry. And we're all somewhere in those three areas. Some of us might still be up there needing to be reached with the gospel. Some of us have just recently come to Christ and we need to be discipled. Some of us have been on the route for quite some time and we've been thankful enough, grateful to have all Christians who encouraged us and helped us and given us opportunity. And one of the things that we often talk about at camp is look out for the two kinds of people. Look out for the loners and make sure that they know that they matter, that they're significant. The other kind of people that we look out for are the potential leaders, those who show drive and those who show enthusiasm for the things we can encourage that they might one day take the place of counselor, director, speaker, whatever, we're giving them the opportunity to utilize the gift. That would be in the area. So with Andrew, we have two things. First of all, we have the fact that he's a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. That's due to the good work that John the Baptist had done in preparation. He had quite a number of people gathering around him, following, and one day, John and he points to a figure, an individual, walking along the banks of the Jordan, and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world." And one of two of the disciples that were listening and observing at that point in time was Andrew. And Andrew, after he left John the Baptist and started with his friend following the Lord Jesus, what is the first thing he did? He went to find his own brother. The first disciple, at least one of the two, Andrew, often simply called Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And there were four lists of disciples in the New Testament. In Matthew's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, in Luke's Gospel, John doesn't have a list as such. And then in Acts chapter 1, there's another list. Would it surprise you to know that in all four of those lists, Peter comes first? In two of those lists, Andrew comes second, only behind Peter, James, and John. He's high up there. And in two of those lists, in two of those lists, he comes second after Peter. And in two of those lists, the other two, he comes in the fourth place after Peter and James and John. Andrew's pretty far up there. We don't hear much about him. It's the more public, more outgoing, outspoken disciples that we tend to think about. Andrew had some significant things that we can learn. One of the things was this, that Andrew learned to be himself. He was not ambitious to be like Peter. He was not ambitious for that which was outside of the will of God for him. But John the Baptist lost his congregation. His subject matter was spot on. This is the Lamb of God. And as a result of that preaching, others came to know him. John was a signpost. The signpost does what? It shows the way. You pass, I don't know how many signposts on your way to the chapel this morning. I did. I'm not sure what the signposts were like. All I was interested in was the direction that they were pointing me in. About the best that I can say about those signposts is they were green. I don't know whether they were big ones that crossed the whole stretch of the highway or just, you know, signposts. It was the direction that was the important thing. John the Baptist was the signpost, pointing people to Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He knew that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. And the witness found its focus on Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, there are many kinds of evangelism. Preaching evangelism, there's mass evangelism, there's tent evangelism, children's evangelism, missionary evangelism, friendship evangelism. We go on and on and on. But there are three areas in which Andrew excels. The first is in personal evangelism, obviously. He first found his own brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. Now, personal evangelism is one-on-one, eyes to eyes, toes to toes, nose to nose. An evangelist. Because it's personal, we should be looking to build relationships so that we can speak to people concerning the Lord Jesus. Or use existing relationships such as a family relationship, brothers, sisters, parents. I don't know how many stories I've heard of families where one person has come to the Lord, and through that one person's witness, the whole of the family come to him. Back in the beginning of June, we attended a family reunion. My wife's family, obviously. My family's a long, long, long way from here. I was asked, as I often am, to give thanks for the food. And I prefaced my prayer by just some remarks. And I said this, as far as we can figure out, Grandma Clyde, Grandma Clyde, Mama, and Papa Hope, Papa, got married in 1914. This is 2024. So 110 years ago, can you imagine that they would ever have thought that there'd be a group of 80 or more people gathered together in their honor, really? 110 years later, we could probably have added another 50% to that if distance and prior commitments had not prevented some folks from being there. The thing about this family is interesting. They had 8 children altogether. The oldest one, Melvin, when he was, I think, just entering his teens, someone invited him to the gospel chapel nearby, and Melvin trusted the Lord. It wasn't but a couple of years before he came down with stomach cancer and suffered terribly before the Lord took him home at age 14. But through this young man's witness, Not only did his parents both come to the Lord from no particular spiritual background at all, they came to the Lord, and all seven of his siblings that remained came to the Lord. Now, were all those 80 folks at our reunion saved? No, but I guarantee that they'd all heard the gospel. And grew up and shared the truth with their children and so on. That's what happens when the gospel touches a family. Perhaps that's the hardest place to go home. A place where you're known. Person where your weaknesses are known, and yet what a fruitful field. So we see Andrew's interest in personal evangelism. Secondly, in John chapter 6, we see his interest in children's evangelism. There's a lad here. What was the need? A crowd needed to be fed. Did I say a crowd? A multitude. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. And that must have been 10, 15, 20,000, I don't know. And Philip didn't know either, because he was asked about catering, and he hadn't got a clue. He said, 200 denarii, 200 penny, isn't going to be enough to feed this bunch of people. A denarii, a penny, was the working wage, a daily working wage for the average man. So 200 times that, it's almost a year's wages, and that even that's not enough. But Andrew steps up. That there's a lad here. How did Andrew know that? Of course there were lads there. Andrew knew this lad, something about this lad. Why? Spent time with him. Discovered that he'd been at McDonald's and had a couple of fish sandwiches on the side. Five loaves and two fish. His mother just probably put him in his satchel before he went. Did you get hungry, son? And that was the gift that the young man brought to the Lord Jesus. And from that, the multitude was fed, and they all went home with doggy bags. I don't know. So much left over. The old preachers used to say, little is much when God is in it. And it began with Andrew reaching out to a young boy that he brought to Jesus to offer his gifts. His food, his lunch, the bed. I say that, and I guess why I'm taking this line of morning is because these summer months are so fruitful in the opportunities that they give us to reach young people with the message of the Lord Jesus. So important. I've said for years that the most effective things that I think many local churches do every year is, number one, have a vacation Bible school, and number one, send their kids to camp. Such a fruitful ministry. It's not that they're hearing anything fundamentally new, but they're hearing it, seeing it in a different context than what normally they would hear the message. And they're hearing it with others. And perhaps notice the excitement of young people, teenagers, young adults who are serving the Lord in that capacity. And in that context, children's evangelism can be so, so effective. We've watched my time. So we see Andrew's interest in personal evangelism. We see his interest in children's evangelism. And thirdly, in chapter 12, we see his interest in cross-cultural evangelism. In other words, reaching people that are, well, not like us, They're either from some different place, and they either talk differently, or they got a different culture, or they believe differently. And it used to be that if we were to reach such people, we'd have to go halfway around the world, get on a boat or get on a plane and go and reach them in their own area. But now, increasingly, they're coming around us. And most every neighborhood, you know, there are people from other places. Might be the wild people from Scotland, or it might be people from Asia, Africa, South America. They need the Lord. They need the gospel. They need to be evangelized if they don't know the Lord Jesus. When you think about it, somebody brought the gospel to you, or somebody brought the gospel to the person that brought the gospel to you, or to, you know, we go back. We've all been rich because someone went outside their comfort zone. Somebody that really didn't quite like them, didn't speak the same language. I met a man a number of years ago, and he was going to local community college to learn Spanish. He said, "I got so many neighbors that are Hispanic that I want to have the ability to reach them with the gospel." Cross-cultural evangelism. But fourthly, we see his interest in future evangelism. Where am I going with this? Or where am I getting this? Acts chapter 1. We find Andrew, and in that list, he's there with the disciples. And what are they doing? They're praying. They're taking seriously the commission that the Lord Jesus has repeatedly given them in the last 40 years, since 40 days, since his resurrection from the dead, after his ascension, go into all the world, make disciples. As the Father sent me, so send I you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. They were taking seriously this commission that's given to them. And they began, as we should always begin, with prayer. Lord, use our witness, use our testimony, use our evangelistic efforts, use this vacation Bible school, use the junior boys' camp at Mountaintop, or Camp Hope, or Camp Horizon, or Portland Haven. That's the camps that I've been at this year. I'm going to. He used these camps to reach our young people with the gospel. The church that neglects evangelism has no future. Well, it's not that I'm saying that you have fulfilled your commission if your local church has got a good evangelistic program. I think we need to go back to the personal side of things and look for opportunities, tools, if you will, to reach people, something to attract them. I found a great thing. My theme for most of my camps this summer has been one way. Lord Jesus, evangelistically, I've taught how the Lord Jesus is the only way, and then for those who are Christians, trying to teach that his way is the right way to live Christian living. And I came across a great t-shirt. I found out it was a quote from the TV series, The Chosen. I know that some of you might have problems with, you know, it doesn't truly follow the scripture, but I think it's been a great tool to open people's eyes that, you know, somewhere out there on the fringe. But anyway, this t-shirt simply says this: I was one way, but now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. And I'll go into, well, just the other night, my wife and I went into Chick-fil-A and hidden from the chosen. Oh, I've heard about that. I said, when Nicodemus confronts Mary Magdalene, who's lived a pretty bad life, and he sees a tremendous change, and he says, now what was it that I said that made the difference? She said, what are you? Well, who was it? Well, I don't really know. I don't need me to tell you. But what? Still, nothing can put it in a difference. Different. And the thing that happened to me was look for opportunities, openings to share the gospel with those around you. And here's the thing. The less the church got involved in evangelism, personal evangelism continued and does continue. But Peter, of course, stood up to preach on the day of Pentecost, and Peter became the spiritual father to 3,000 newly born again believers. Andrew became a spiritual grandfather to 3,000 believers. The evangelists produce evangelists. They don't only evangelize, they encourage evangelism. I came across this a number of years ago. I went and looked for it. I would think that many of you people from Charlotte would have heard this before, but I close with this, our time is up almost. It was the year 1858 in the city of Boston. Edward Kimball was a young Sunday school teacher who made it a habit to personally give each student in his class an opportunity to accept Christ as their savior. He was concerned about one of his students who worked in a shoe store. One day, Kimball visited the young man at the store, where he found him in the back stocking shelves, and led him to Christ. That student was Dwight L. Moody, who eventually left the shoe business to become one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Moody became an international speaker and toured the British Isles. He preached in a little chapel pastored by a young man called F.B. Miller. In his sermon, he told the story of his Sunday school teacher that simply changed Pastor Meyer's ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist like Moody. Meyer eventually preached in America, in Northfield, where a young preacher heard him say, if you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made? That remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to God's call on his life. Wilbur Chapman went on to become an effective evangelist. He enlisted the help of a volunteer named Billy Sunday, who helped him set up for his crusades. Billy Sunday learned how to preach by watching Chapman, and eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming a dynamic evangelist. Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands to Christ. Inspired by a Billy Sunday crusade in a place called Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christian men dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ. They invited evangelist Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings. The year was 1932. A local farmer loaded his pickup truck with neighbors and brought them to the meetings. One was a 16-year-old boy who sat in the crowd each night, spellbound by the message. Each evening, the preacher seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at the young man. Night after night, the teenager came, and finally, on the last night, he went forward and gave his life to Christ. The teenager was... See the process. See the movement. Evangelists don't just evangelize. They encourage evangelism. Some people went on to say Billy Graham has communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history. You probably know someone who's led to Christ through his ministry. I can think of several in my acquaintance. It all started with a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball, who cared for the souls of his students to personally make sure that they knew and understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only eternity will reveal the impact that one teacher who invested his lives of his students. And we do the same. First link is to share the gospel, sowing the seed. The final link is to reap the harvest. Doing that, you'll be the missing link. Father, we thank you for your great plan, for your church. To be evangelistic in its outreach, realizing the brevity of time and the state of the world in which we live today, we believe the time is coming short, coming soon, when we'll no longer have any opportunities for evangelism, for one day the Lord Jesus will return and take us home to be with himself. Help us to see the urgency of the times in which we live. And help us all to be evangelists, whether personal evangelists, children evangelists, or even preaching evangelists. Help us, we pray, to see the lost world around us and be motivated by compassion, as was our blessed Savior. We just pray, Father, that we might follow him in reaching souls, that they might be won for him and transformed by the grace of God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we just pray, Father, that you might use our witness and our testimony to bring others to the Savior. We pray in his name.